On behalf of the family, I want to welcome everyone this afternoon as we come to celebrate the life, actually the graduation of Harvey Fitzwater. Many times in our life we need prayer, and this is one of those times that is really needed most. Father, we're grateful for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. We're grateful that we don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. My prayer this afternoon is that we would be able to join together and be able to share grief and share joys and share struggle, to be here to share as friends and family in this time of sense of great loss, at least for us. So we're inviting you to be in every part of what we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible provides for us so many different aspects of need in our life, and expression of emotion is one of those. And the best place to go for that is the book of Psalms. It's interesting to think that all of the Psalms in there were actually sung. They had music to them, not sure what the music was, but it expresses every level, every variety of emotion that there is, from joy to sorrow. And I pulled together just a few excerpts from the Psalms that fit at a time like this. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge, so let me never be ashamed. Incline your ear to me and rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. You are my strength. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God, and my times are in your hand. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings, for with you is the fountain of life. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You're my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. You are my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You turn man back to dust and say, return, O children of men. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you, while we're living, a heart of wisdom. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Your righteous hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. You do not forsake the works of your hands. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that joy comes because of the blessed assurance that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are several hymns that Harvey actually wanted to have sung and that were favorites of his. And this is one that he wanted to sing a duet. Where are you? Aha! Never got around to the duet, did you? This is one. So we want to sing that together in remembrance of Harvey.
Thank you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my sight. Angels descending, looking above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The daughters would like to come and share their memories of Harvey.
We want to say thank you for being here. And for those who don't know us, I'm Norma, the oldest. This is my little sister, Elaine. My little sister. Got taller than me at a young age.
Yeah.
Harvey Fitzwater, at age 73, went to be with Jesus on August 30th after a long battle with cancer. He was born in Compton, California on May 31st, 1944, to Harold and Mildred Fitzwater, the second child in a family of six children and the eldest son. Harvey grew up working hard under the direction of his father, Harold, doing things like helping with the construction of the family home, digging ditches, and falling trees. In fact, his younger brother, Richard, would often climb the trees first and ride them down as they fell. The smaller ones, of course. Where are you, Richard? Oh, there you are. Glad you're still here. Being the big brother, Harvey instigated many other adventures with his siblings, such as getting Richard, again, to climb into a huge truck tire so he could roll him down a hill until it was stopped by a tree. And then he dared his brother Joel to swing out over a ravine from a questionable rope swing, which proceeded to break and sent Joel plummeting 20 feet down into a patch of some kind of sticker bushes. And at 11 years old, navigating an old bathtub down a river with Richard and Joel, yeah, none of them knowing how to swim yet, mind you, and getting rescued in a lift home by an observant police officer. Harvey also looked out for his siblings, such as when little brother Paul fell backwards on purpose from the barn rafters, having faith that his big brother Harvey would catch him. As far as his two sisters, Harvey made an impression on big sister Nola, as holding him as a baby was her very first memory. And he loved playing with his baby sister Marie, who was born when Harvey was 13.
Harvey grew up attending Earlands Point Bible Chapel, where he was involved in JET Cadets, junior and senior high youth group, and singing, and where he met his lovely bride-to-be, Barbara Nelson. The Fitzwater and Nelson kids all grew up knowing each other, so neither could pinpoint exactly when they first met. Harvey proposed to Barbara in early summer of 1967. Not long afterward, they decided to elope, even buying their marriage license in Mason County so their plans wouldn't be revealed in the Bremerton newspaper. They married in a little church in downtown Paulsboro on July 28, 1967, and later had a lovely reception here at Chico Alliance with family and friends. Harvey and Barbara's first home was an apartment on Bainbridge Island, walking distance to the Seattle Ferry, which they rented for only $75 a month. Yeah. At that time, he worked for the bakery inside the Town and Country grocery store. Our family is proud to share that earlier this summer, Harvey and Barbara celebrated 50 years of marriage.
In May of 1968 and April of 1970, Dad and Mom added myself and Elaine to their family. Us girls grew up knowing our parents loved us dearly. We attended church here together, went on camping trips all over Western Washington, attended family reunions every summer, and had visits with grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins on weekends. We enjoyed being taken for spontaneous long drives and getting surprised by Dad stopping at random little stores where he'd come out with ice cream bars for us. Another source of fun was the silliness playing with pets throughout the years, which was quite a riot if you knew anything about my dad, about how our dad played with and teased animals. Similar to Richard out there. Dad was what us girls would consider overprotective, but in hindsight, it was him clearly loving us so much that he tried to shield us from harm. He was so right about so many things. Dad supported and helped Elaine and I throughout his entire life in numerous ways, through car troubles, multiple moves, home repairs, and special building projects, always encouraging us, loving us, being an awesome dad and our friend, and a great grandpa to our children.
Dad and Mom were blessed with three grandsons in the space of 16 months, Matthew, Tyler, and Joshua, and 9 years later, a granddaughter, Haley. 7 years ago, they doubled their grandchild count when I married Joe, immediately welcoming Nicole, Derek, Kyle, and Garrett. And Garrett, who married Rachel, who then made them great-grandparents twice over when blessed with Garrett Jr. and baby Briley.
Spending most of his life in Kitsap County, Dad was known by many in all walks of life for his friendliness, sense of humor, the many stories he liked to tell, and his willingness to help people. He was very social, loved making people laugh, and pulling off surprises. He also enjoyed spending time in the outdoors, hunting, hiking, and camping, drinking a good cup of coffee, and building a roaring fire. He's also widely known in the family for his scrumptious potato salad.
Dad worked doing construction for the majority of his adult life, from remodels to new construction, roof jobs, building numerous decks and fences, constructing mini storages with Bob, adding on to homes for Richard and Laura, Joel, and Norma, completing numerous projects Nola would come up with to beautify her lovely homes, building a shed and helping with remodels for Betty and Jerry, building a playhouse to surprise his granddaughter Haley for her third birthday, surprising Norma with a piano bench and me with a cedar chest, building coat racks and wooden toolboxes for his grandsons engraved with their names, remodeling a shed for me, which Tyler uses as a wood shop, where Dad helped Tyler last winter with a beautiful bench for a housewarming gift to Joe and I. He was always quick to help with my rentals when they needed remodels or repairs. One of his creations is an arbor, which he built for me, mine and Joe's wedding, which was also used last year for his eldest grandson, Matthew, and his lovely bride, Kayla's wedding. Dad's last originally designed project was a beautiful cedar chest, lovingly built and engraved for his granddaughter, Haley.
Mom would like everyone to know that Dad was an organ donor and that the Sight Life organization informed her this week that Dad's donation of his corneas have been successful in giving sight to two previously blind recipients. The night before our family's last camp out with Dad, he stayed over at my house, situated to sleep on a recliner in our living room. It was just he and I there when he mentioned that it was the time he would normally read from a devotional book with our mom. We ended up reading verses to each other from Psalms in a couple of his mother's Bibles that I had on the shelf, with all her underlining and notes, discussing those. When we were finished, I knelt down beside him, held his hand, and prayed with him. And then Dad prayed. It was one of the most precious moments of my life. He prayed over Mom, Elaine, and myself, asking God to help us through the times to come, praying for us to have peace and strength and to help each other. When he was done, I hugged him tight and told him thank you through my tears. That was our dad, always thinking about us, his family, always trying to make sure we were okay, and always showing us love. In closing, I'll say that Dad wanted all of you to know that he loved the Lord and had accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And he prayed that everyone he knew would come to saving knowledge and belief in Jesus. Because of his faith and ours, we know we will see him again in heaven. And we know also that he'd like to see all of you too. Thank you very much.
Grandson Matt put together a wonderful bunch of pictures that he had to weed down a few hundred pictures to what you'll see today. Just wonderfully capsulizes Harvey's life. Harvey was not just a member of the congregation. Harvey was a friend. And he did several things for our family. And he also fulfilled a long-time desire and dream regarding the church, which many of you may have seen. It looks like that. For years and years and years, as with his ugly silver dome. And Harvey figured out how to cover that up and also put a cross up there. We're still working on getting lighting on it, but appreciate that. So before we allow you to share some things, I'd like anyone who ever had Harvey build something for them or do something for them, if you'd stand. Look at that. Wow. That's great. You may be seated. So we want to give you a chance to share some of your thoughts. Many people have a hard time speaking publicly. Others speak too long publicly. So if you have a hard time doing publicly, in your program there should have been a little three-quarter sheet, I guess you'd call that. I really urge you to write down a memory or something. It's so important for the family, as for part of the healing process, to know what kind of impact a loved one had on other lives. It does a lot. So if you would take some time, there'll be a some time afterwards, some refreshments. You just jot that down. There'll be some place for you to turn that in for them, and they will have time to read some of those. Those of you who would like to share today, obviously there's a lot of people here, and time is not unlimited, so there's a few rules. One of the rules is keep it as brief as possible. It can be funny, it can be inspirational, whatever you feel like you would like to share of your memory of Harvey. And we are recording it. So the other rule is please say your name and your relationship to Harvey. Because somebody who looks at the recording later, who is that? So if you'll say your name first. And then we will be putting that and the slideshow that you just saw on the church website will be available in the days to come, however long it takes us to edit all those things and get it on there. It'll be available for you. And Matt has graciously offered, if you would like your own copy of that, to somehow figure out how he can get you a copy of that. So raise your hand, Matt, so everybody sees that. You can get a copy of the slideshow. All right. That being said, and you do need a microphone, all right? Don't say, oh, I don't need a mic. Well, it won't go on the tape if you don't use the mic. And you may not be heard as much as you think you have. So we got two guys out here that have a microphone ready to pass to you. And you just raise your hand and they'll try to get to you. All right, there's a lot of hands over here. Vern's coming around there. You already got some customers, Vern. So. There's some hands up over here. So Vern, I'll get you a microphone.
My name is Merrill Kronk. In the 1960s, my wife Marilyn and I were the youth sponsors here at, at that time it might have been Earl's Point Bible Chapel, but soon to become Chico Alliance Church. I was working for a title insurance company in Bremerton, and one of my jobs was to drive around the county to inspect houses. Harvey had just recently gotten out of the service, and I could tell he had his eye on one young lady in our youth group, Barbara Nelson. And I was quite concerned that this rapscallion might do something that would be forever irreparable. And so I invited Harvey to go with me one day on a drive, took him up to Bainbridge Island. And while we were driving, I asked Harvey, I said, Harvey, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? No. And I said, well, wouldn't you like to? No. He was very, very forthright, honest about it all. He still had some things he wanted to do in life, and he didn't figure that would be quite compatible with being a Christian. So I dropped the subject, but I didn't quit praying about it. One of the greatest thrills for me was to hear, and just not too long ago, that Harvey had made a real, genuine commitment to the Lord. And that was a thrill. I might just add that Harvey has put two roofs on our house, or houses. The last job, I had to call him back in a pouring down rainstorm. And I don't know which one in the Fitzwater family is going to fill his shoes, but hey, the next rainstorm, if it leaks, I'm calling on you.
I'm Nola, the oldest sister. That's my baby sister. But I want to share something that was so wonderful. The last week of Harvey's life, he called me, and I had been calling him on a regular basis. I'm going to call you. I called you. And we started talking about how as we age, or as we know that life is coming short, that things disappear. And we accept that. And that's when Harvey expressed to me. He gave me the best gift he's ever given me. And he says, you know, he says, I have had such a sense of peace. And if I could only express it like he did, but it was absolutely, he said, it just overwhelmed me, the peace. And a week later, he was gone. And that was a wonderful gift.
Well, I'm Lori Fitzwater, and Harvey is my cousin. There's about 10 years difference between us, so we didn't actually grow up spending a lot of time together in that sense. But he was always in my family's life. He was a tremendous help to my parents, especially as they got older and things became more difficult. And when my dad was terminal, Harvey was there whenever needed, helping Mom and Dad, and continued to help Mom even after Dad's passing. And I'll forever be grateful for that. And I'd just like to also say that his lovely daughters, I think, are a wonderful testament to what a great father he was. I didn't know him, obviously, in that capacity, but the reflection of it is abundantly clear in his daughters.
You get to wait. I'm Marie. I'm Harvey's baby sister. And the age difference, I think I must have been, and my siblings can correct me, 4 or 5 when he left for the military. So I didn't know I had a brother named Harvey. I wasn't aware of a lot of stuff. But he shared something with me that I don't remember it, but he said, when we lived in Port Orchard, he used to ask me to jump to him from the top of the stairs. I don't know how old I was and if Mom and Dad knew what was going on, but I missed out on a lot of the other stuff, and that's probably good. But he said, you always jumped to me, and you never hesitated, and you always thought I'd catch you, and I always did. If that is not a vision of Christ's love for us, that we can leap into his arms, and he will always catch us. As an adult, I got to go on a hiking trip when Dad was 67. So you do the math. I don't remember. I went to CK, but that was a long time ago. And Harvey has always been, as an adult, we developed a relationship. And he has always been so sweet and so kind and loving and giving, as many of you know. And while this is hard, we will see him on the other side. Thanks, Matt. And we will miss him. But Harvey did give us the greatest gift in making that very clear before he stepped into heaven. So that's it.
I'm Jerry Martin. I'm a brother-in-law. I don't know where to begin. To me, Harvey was not a brother-in-law. He was a brother. And about a week and a half before he died, Betty, my wife, was on the phone with him. I was sitting across the room. And Betty said, Harvey wants to tell you he loves you. And I hollered back so Harvey could hear me, I love you too, Harvey. And I really did love Harvey. He was a companion, probably closer to me than any other male companion I've ever had contact with. He, at many times during the year, would call up and say, where are you? And I said, well, I'm at home. He said, well, we're in South Marysville. We're coming over. And they were always welcome. I don't care what the situation was. at our house, they always felt welcome there, and they were always welcome there. And we had wonderful times. We'd always go out to eat, and we had wonderful fellowship when we dined out. And it could be just a little corner cafe, or it could be a nice restaurant. It didn't really make much difference. It was the fellowship that my wife and I and Barb and Harvey enjoyed the most. But I do have one story to tell you about Harvey. About 13, 14 years ago, I needed to re-roof my house. So I called Harvey to see if he'd come and help me. And, of course, there was no hesitation. I had stripped the house of the shakes and got it down to the bare plywood and did miscellaneous repairs. And then he came up to help put the roofing on. Well, this was about, three or four days after Thanksgiving. And while he was there for about the 8 or 9 days putting on the roof, he got saturated with turkey leftovers. And he says, I have never eaten so much turkey in my life. But nonetheless, he enjoyed it. And I have to say, Barbara, and you and Harvey were wonderful friends, and we appreciated your friendship, your fellowship, and your love towards us, and I hope we reflect our love towards you and Harvey. Harvey, we'll miss you, but I wouldn't wish you to come back. You're in a far better place.
I'm Barbara's big sister, Betty, and this is Doris. She probably won't talk. Eleanor's in heaven. Lyle's in California. Is that all of us? Yep. And I just am so grateful that Harvey took such good care of our little sister. And he really was such a good friend. And when we were in high school, we sang that song, that hymn as a duet, and we were going to try and record it so that, recently, so that it could be played today. But when I was just trying to sing it, I realized that would have been a fiasco. So that wouldn't have worked. So I'm glad you all sang it with us. But Harvey was such a good daddy, and his girls are so precious to me and to our family. And yep, he would just show up. He knew that's how he had to do it with Barbara. We're going to go, or grab your purse and your stuff, and they would go. And it's better because she and I have a really hard time getting to go places. And so our husbands just know kind of how to do it, and they've got our number. So we will miss him so much, but we still have the rest of the family and all the family, and we love you all. Thank you.
I'm Doug Campbell. I'm a brother-in-law, and I think we should have included what Harvey built for us, so we got a deck, French doors, and he did a great job on that. I'm glad another brother-in-law talked because now I feel slightly qualified. I've known Harvey since 1978 when Marie and I married, and it's been watching Harvey. It's been a life process that he's gone through, from realizing who he is to who he has become as a follower of Christ. You never really heard Harvey talk much about his faith, but it was real and it was there. It's what made Harvey a loving, giving man who would check in on people sometimes when you needed to hear from him the most. Harvey didn't throw away people, even those people that the world looks at and shies away from. I personally believe that Harvey was able to do this because he was able to see how Jesus met him when he wasn't that lovely. During the process of the battle of cancer, I had a chance to have some really good conversations with Harvey. Harvey didn't pity himself or go through the why me process. In fact, he told me, why not me? This was so important to him that he could accept this, as he was going to need all the strength that he had to finish strong. And finish strong, he did. I was happy to hear that he got to get that last trip into the Olympics with those he loves more than anything on earth. He did it for you as much as for him. Harvey beamed with pride when he would talk to me about Tyler's growing interest in working with wood. He talked about how the shop was getting set up and the projects Tyler was working on, the tools that he got to share with you, and the quality of the product coming out of your shop. Harvey was working on the Hope Chest for Haley. It was important to note that Harvey finished it. And he finished it with all his love. We would stop to visit and see the progress. It's a beautiful chest. And Haley, you should be able to look at it and see that he sees you as a very, very, very precious human being. I think that both of these examples says that Harvey loves his children and his grandchildren. He loves how his children have loved on him and how he has put his stamp on his grandchildren. I hope that you can see that this is how Harvey's Heavenly Father loves us, and he wants to put his stamp on us. You see, Harvey found that gift of love and grace when he needed it most. Harvey didn't have it easy growing up, and he made some choices that made things even tougher. But God didn't give up on Harvey. So when Harvey did come back to following after God's own heart, he could appreciate the grace he had received that much more than if everything had been easy for him. I can identify with that, and I appreciate so much how God can heal those of us who go through periods of running from him to try our own way to deal with life. So, Harvey, thank you. Thank you for being a man's man. Thank you for being a husband who cares for his wife. Thank you for being a good father. Thank you for being a good father and a grandfather. Harvey, thank you for being a good brother. Thank you for caring for those around you and being an example of how Jesus told us to live by being his hands and his feet. You worked your faith out. Harvey, thank you for your humility, not thinking yourself better than you should, and being willing to love unlovely people. And Harvey, thank you for finishing strong. Cancer didn't win. God wins again, every time. You kept the faith. I will miss you, but I'll see you again. Enjoy checking out the place that God has prepared for you. I bet you're going over every inch and every joint. Take your time. You have now joined the ranks of the great throng of witnesses who are cheering the rest of us on to run our own race in the kingdom races. May we run as well as you did, and may we finish strong like you.
Hi, I'm Travis Baker, the next door neighbor, across the street from Harvey. I thought maybe we needed a voice from outside the church and outside the family. I can't compete with the two guys who got roofs from Harvey, you know, or even the deck. I have only the siding on the south side of my house and a re-jacked up porch on the north side of my house to remember Harvey by. I paid him for those jobs, but I didn't pay him for the best thing he gave me in 2007 when I'd had rotator cuff surgery and was unable to do many of the manual jobs I was doing as manager of the mobile home park. Some of the neighbors stepped in and helped me out, but Harvey came along and did the hardest job, mowing a series of five septic mounds, which were a damned hard mow. And he did it while I was laid up, and he just kept doing it until the next season rolled around and the grass was growing. And I said, you want me to take that back over for you, Harvey? And he said yes. But he gave me about 4 months of relief that I really appreciated. And I watched the steeple there take shape across the street in his house, or at his house. And I will miss him, and I'm sure everyone in the park will miss him because he was a big help for us.
So I encourage you to write down some of your memories and turn them in. I guess a clear message that you gave us is the wonderful grace of Jesus, which is a song that Harvey would have liked us to sing. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me, for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful all sufficient for me, for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. The matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me, for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Well, generally I like to leave any message that I prepared last, is because we're here to celebrate Harvey. I think some of the most important part of that is the sharing that's been done so far. And I can always, although it's hard for a preacher to cut things down, I can always shorten some things up. But I do believe that Harvey would be disappointed if we did not share the truth of where our hope comes from. it's services such as this that a whole myriad of emotions come to the surface. Some of them are felt simultaneously. Grief, relief, fear, guilt, wonder, regret, joy, sorrow. How you can feel those all at once, I don't know. First time I really experienced that is at the death of my mom, who had struggled just to breathe in her last days and was struggling. And the time that she then went into coma and passed, it was like this sense of relief and joy that she was now in the arms of Jesus. But yet on the other hand, this whole grief of she's gone, at least for the time being. It's because of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can deal with or manage those emotions. And on top of all that comes one of the greatest emotions, and that's the emotion of hope and peace. It was a few months back that I had the opportunity, and by the way, Harvey dropped in the office very often, and it was always, he'd just come in and plop down in the office and we'd sit and chat for long periods of time about a little bit of everything. I enjoyed that so much. That's why I say he was not just a member of the congregation. He had become a friend. But a few months back, he'd struggling with the peace. And so we were able to talk about, and he says, you know, I've made commitment to Christ all different times in my life. And I just haven't been able to feel, I'm not who I think I should be. I don't be expecting to be a super saint or something after that. Like, none of us are, so forget that part. But he had been struggling with that and said he had made those commitments. And I remember specifically one Sunday, I don't teach about hell very often, but that one particular Sunday was part of what we were doing in a series. And it was fairly graphic, and I remember Harvey's response to that was pretty, he wanted to make sure about his commitment, one of the many. So he's still struggling a little bit, so I said, Harvey, why do you listen to those preachers on the television? And I said, but on top of that, why in the world do you want to come and listen to me at church? I said, Harvey, it's because somebody who doesn't know the Lord or where a work hasn't been done in their life doesn't really care about hearing the gospel. In fact, they're usually antagonistic towards it or indifferent at best. And I don't know whether it was that part. We had a long conversation that day. I don't know whether that was part of his peace. But shortly after that, he said, you know, I really feel a sense of peace. And I just, when I had heard that, I said, praise the Lord, that's the answer to prayer, both his prayer and ours. His peace came because of his relationship with Jesus Christ and the hope that God brings. Now, that word hope is used differently in our culture today. We say it hope, well, in this case, we hope it rains tomorrow because we can really use it. But what we mean is we don't know whether it'll rain or whether it won't. The biblical term for hope was the word certainty. We have a certainty. And because of Jesus Christ, Paul says we don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. He didn't say that we don't grieve, because we do grieve. And one of the verses that's often used at a memorial service or funerals is, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And I used to feel guilty. I said, man, this stings like crazy. When mom died, dad died, this sting, anytime I'm around death, it stings like crazy. What's wrong with this verse? But then when you study the passage, you realize there's a verse before it. It says, when Jesus Christ comes back, this mortal will put on immortality. And it will change when Jesus Christ come back. And then will come about the saying, O death, where is your victory? So what the passage is saying is that sting will remain until Jesus Christ comes back and transforms us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So the question is, where is Harvey right now? I believe by the authority of Scripture, Harvey is in the five-star hotel that God has provided, awaiting our final time where God is going to come down on this new heavens and a new earth. So there is a heaven. And he's not floating around on clouds up there playing a harp, maybe unless he wants to. I mean, I suppose he could if he wanted to. But he's there in this wonderful place that's described. In fact, Paul said it was so wonderful when he got a glimpse of it. He said, I can't tell you about it. I said, come on, Paul. He said, I can't tell you about it. In fact, later, I think, when he said he got this thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, he said, I got this thorn in the flesh because I saw such wonderful things. In order to keep from getting puffed up, I had this extra struggle to deal with. So there is now a relationship, and there's those who have gone before, all kinds of wonderful things, but God also has prepared one day when we will, all those who know Jesus Christ, will live in a place prepared by God, where God equips all, where we won't get bored, we won't get distracted by evil thoughts, we won't get jealous or irritated or frustrated. We will be who, like we dream, we always want everybody else to be. It'll become true. And Paul declared that to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Harvey has had an interest in spiritual things for most of his life. He did make some choices along the way. But I'm convinced that Harvey definitely knew the Lord, and more importantly, the Lord knew him. Written out in a little notebook were just two pages that was shared with me, with two passages. One passage, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second one was from Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Two very important passages for Harvey. And in recent times, at Harvey's invitation, Barb shared with me that Harvey and Barb would read from Max Lucado's daily devotional book. And one especially meaningful passage was drawn from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Harvey experienced that new birth, and there is some aspects of that salvation that has been revealed to him that we are yet to want to see and await. Jesus made it very clear that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Everyone has a choice. And as Norma shared, that would be Harvey's desire, that if you've never made that choice, that you wouldn't put it off. I still remember at my wife's grandfather's funeral, somebody actually came to Christ there during that service, because the pastor, my grandfather came to Christ when he heard the sermon of you've almost persuaded me, the almost Christian, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian. and he talked on that, and Grandpa said, I'm not one, I want to be one. And somebody at his memorial service took that same step. God still draws people to himself today. Harvey remembered several years ago, I don't even remember this, one of the members, church members, Steve Raleigh, sang the song, People Need the Lord. And it made such an impact on him that he actually asked that that would be sung at his service today, which I told the family I would be happy to do. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear, and laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Well, we are called to take His light to this world where wrong seems right. What would be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of all their broken dreams, Christ's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our life for people need the Lord? People need our Lord. We all need him. And we all need to share him as God gives us opportunity. So that when we all get to heaven, there will be a great day of rejoicing. Let's stand as we close today. Hopefully we will all get there, right? But only through Jesus Christ. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Father, thank you for, you say, precious in your sight are the death of your godly ones. And as we have seen today, everyone has a story. Everyone leaves a legacy. We thank you for the things that Harvey has left for us to remember, and may it be an inspiration for us to be faithful. Father, we're grateful for the love that you have shown to us and the hope and the peace that you can bring even for those who still remain. Looking forward to that day when we all join together again. Give comfort, we pray, of the God of all comfort, and give strength in the days to come. But we pray that in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please stick around. There are some refreshments out there and time to just spend some time with the family.